بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and may peace and blessings be upon our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam up until Yawm al-Qiyamah. Brothers and sisters, the importance of a dhikr, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is not hidden from any of you. Rather, the importance of dhikr is not hidden from any Muslim. Making dhikr of Allah, remembering Allah, it's the best action that a person can spend his time upon. And the best words that a person can say are words which contain the dhikr or the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is one of the greatest forms of ibadah, worship, by which a person comes close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is an act of worship, a dhikr, which contains much reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for the person who finds himself in difficulties and anxieties, and he finds his heart isn't at ease, or his mind is troubled, or he's weak in his determination, or he isn't able to concentrate, and he has many distractions in his mind, or distresses and anxieties and worries and sadness and grief, then the key to the door which alleviates these problems is through the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like Allah said in the Quran, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ, that indeed by the dhikr of Allah, by the remembrance of Allah, do hearts find tranquility and ease, respite and rest. So the solution to these problems, a grieving heart, a distressed heart, a depressed state of mind, distractions, a lack of determination or a weak determination, all of it is in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ala bi dhikrillah tatma'innu al-qulub, and making istighfar. And this is something which is experienced and known. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, in many ayat, as you know, and many ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did they order and encourage people to make dhikr of Allah, to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And making dhikr, it is one of the best and beloved forms of worship, and at the same time the easiest form of worship. So a dhikr isn't like al-jihad or al-da'wah or hajj or zakah, where you have to strive a lot and you have to, it costs a lot, you have to spend a lot. All it takes is time, and only a little amount of time and very little effort. So it is the easiest form of worship, making dhikr of Allah. And yet despite this, it is one of the acts of worship which is most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And despite this, and the fact that it's so simple, yet many of the Muslims make mistakes when it comes to dhikr. And many innovations have occurred in a dhikr, remembering Allah. And most people don't understand the meaning of making a dhikr. So we are in need of knowing what a dhikr is, and what are the rewards and the virtues of making dhikr, of remembering Allah, and how a person should make dhikr, or what are the etiquettes or the adab of making a dhikr, the manners and the etiquettes of remembering Allah, and also what are some of the mistakes or innovations that many people are falling in when it comes to a dhikr. And a dhikr with a dha, so it's not a zikr as people pronounce it, it's a dhikr with a dha. It's an Arabic word from dhakara يَذْكُرُ ذِكْرًا. And it has two meanings. It is either to make mention of something upon the tongue, and this is just a linguistic meaning. I.e., how do the Arabs understand or use the word dhikr or dhakara in common Arabic usage? We're not talking about the Sharia now, just amongst common Arab usage in their language, how do they use the word dhikr or dhakara? Firstly, it means to mention something upon the tongue or to remember something in the heart. So a dhikr, it can occur in one of two ways, and this is the linguistic meaning of a dhikr. Either to mention something upon the tongue, like Allah says in the Quran, ذِكْرُ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّكَ عَبْدَهُ زَكَرِيَّا. That this is a dhikr, this is a mention, that which you are reading, that which you are saying, this is a mention of the mercy of your Lord towards his worshipper Zakariya. And then the second meaning of dhikr, or the second way where it occurs, is in the heart. When somebody remembers something, even though he might not necessarily say it upon his tongue. Like the story of Musa alayhi salam and the young boy, the young man who was with him. And they were both going on a journey. And Musa alayhi salam said to him, or when Musa alayhi salam asked him to bring him the meal which they had prepared, which was the fish. And then afterwards, the young man or the young boy, he remembered that the fish had gone into the sea and it had swam away. So he said, وَمَا أَنْسَانِيهِ إِلَّا الشَّيْطَانِ أَنْ أَذْكُرَهُ. Then nothing made me forget this except a shaytan. أَنْ أَذْكُرَهُ. That I remember it. It was shaytan who made me forget to remind you or to remember. So here the dhikr, adhkurahu, I remember in the heart. This is the linguistic meaning of dhikr from yadhkara, dhakara yadhkuru dhikran. From dhakara yadhkuru dhikran. Either mention something upon the tongue or just remember something in the heart or the mind. As for in the sharia, when we talk about a dhikr in the Quran and the sunnah, then it has a specific meaning and it also has then other secondary meanings. So the specific meaning of dhikr is for the heart and the tongue to come together, meaning for the heart to focus and the tongue to make mention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His dhat, His essence, His names, His attributes, by making tasbih, I glorifying Him, and takbir, saying Allahu Akbar, and mentioning His tawheed through saying La ilaha illallah, and other words of praise and glory and exaltations. This is a dhikr, or the primary meaning of a dhikr in the sharia. When Allah said, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu dhkurullah dhikran kathira. O people of Iman, make dhikr of Allah, and make a lot dhikr of Allah. This is the dhikr which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is primarily mentioning. And then, and this shows that in order for this dhikr to be done, two things have to come together. Firstly, the heart has to focus and understand what you are saying and the dhikr which you are making. And secondly, that you make it upon your tongue. So people, they commit two mistakes when it comes to a dhikr. Either they make dhikr upon their tongue, but their mind and their heart isn't focusing. So for example, a person is making dhikr and at the same time checking his or her messages, text messages, checking their internet, then this isn't the true essence of a dhikr. And other people who say that we're going to make dhikr in our heart, but their tongue is not pronouncing the words of a dhikr, like physically saying Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, and La ilaha illallah. And this is negligence, a person being negligent, saying dhikr upon his tongue, but his mind is somewhere else. And Allah says, وَلَا تَكُمْ مِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. Don't be from the people of ghafla. And ghafla is negligence. Also, the word dhikr in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it comes with other meanings. And these are now secondary meanings to that primary meaning which we mentioned. So for example, the recitation of the Quran is also a dhikr. In fact, the Quran itself, Allah called it a dhikr. He said, وَهَذَا ذِكْرٌ مُبَارَكٌ أَنزَلْنَا. That this, i.e. the Quran, this is ذِكْرٌ مُبَارَكٌ. This is a blessed dhikr أَنزَلْنَا which we have revealed. So one of the names of the Quran is a dhikr. Also Allah said in the Quran, ذَلِكَ نَتْلُوهُ عَلَيْكَ مِنَ الْآيَاتِ وَالذِّكْرِ الْحَكِيمِ. And these are the ayat which we recite upon you, وَالذِّكْرِ الْحَكِيمِ, and the wise dhikr. And here the meaning of dhikr is the Quran. Also Allah says, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرِ وَإِنَّ لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. Indeed, we are the ones who have revealed, sent down the dhikr, i.e. the Quran. And we are the ones who will preserve and protect it. Also, not only the Quran, but also the books which came previously, the scriptures which came previously, al-Torah, al-Injil, al-Zabur, these are also called a dhikr in the Quran. And the scholars of these previous scriptures, they were called the scholars of the dhikr. So Allah said, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَعَتَّعْلَمُونَ. Ask, question the people of a dhikr if you do not know. The meaning of dhikr here in this ayah isn't the people who make dhikr of Allah like is understood from the normal meaning. Rather here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was addressing the mushrikun and addressing the people of the book, and addressed them and said to them that go ask the scholars of your own scriptures, Ahl al-Dhikr, if you do not know. If you don't know the validity and the truthfulness of this Quran, then go and ask the true scholars of your own scriptures, and they will tell you that their own scriptures confirm that which is in the Quran. So, Ahl al-Dhikr, and the meaning of dhikr here refers to the previous scriptures, Torah, Zabur, Injil, and the scholars of these scriptures. And if Ahl al-Dhikr here refers to the previous scriptures, then of course it refers to the Quran. And if it refers to the scholars of the previous scriptures, then of course it also refers to the scholars of the Quran, i.e. the scholars of this ummah. And for this reason, the scholars, our ulama, they use this ayah, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Question the people of dhikr if you do not know, as an evidence for the obligation to go to the scholars of Islam and question them about matters which you do not know. Also, the word al-dhikr in the Quran, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was called a dhikr, and he was described as being a dhikr. Allah said, قَدْ أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكُمْ ذِكْرًا رَسُولًا يَتْلُوا عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ. Indeed, Allah has revealed to you ذِكْرًا. And then he said, رَسُولًا, a messenger. He recites upon you the ayat of Allah. And some of the ulama, the mufassirun, they said, the meaning here of ذِكْر is the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And others said, no, it means the Qur'an. So also one of the meanings or the usage of the words al-dhikr is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. Also the prayer, as-salah, it is called dhikr. Like Allah said in the Quran, fas'au ila dhikrillah, fas'au ila dhikrillah. That strive or go forth towards the dhikr of Allah. And he was referring to the prayer. And a point that we should pay attention to is when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the gatherings of dhikr, majalis al-dhikr, the sittings of al-dhikr, then this isn't just referring to the dhikr of saying subhanallah and la ilaha illallah and alhamdulillah. Rather, it primarily refers to sittings of knowledge and gatherings of ilm, whereby people seek knowledge. So for example, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, He said in an authentic hadith, إِذَا مَرَرْتُمْ بِرِيَاضِ الْجَنَّةِ فَارْتَعُوا, that if you pass by a garden of paradise, then go towards it. And the companion said, Ya Rasulullah, وَمَا رِيَاضُ الْجَنَّةِ, O Messenger of Allah, what is رِيَاضُ الْجَنَّةِ, what is the garden of paradise upon this earth? He said, مَجَالِسْ الذِّكَر, the sittings or the gatherings of a dhikr. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, Sahih Muslim, majtama'a qawmun fi baytin min buyutillah yadhkurun Allah fi. Whenever a group of people, they come together and they congregate in a house from amongst the houses of Allah in order to make dhikr of Allah. And then he mentioned the reward and the virtue. إِلَّا غَشْيَتْهُمُ الرَّحْمَةِ, except mercy overcomes them. وَنَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّكِينَةِ, and then tranquility falls upon them. The end of the hadith. Some people, they use these ahadith, they say, look, here is the evidence that we should all come together, congregate and make dhikr of Allah, jama'i, i.e. dhikr in congregation, in the masajid. But the meaning of dhikr in these ahadith isn't just saying subhanallah and alhamdulillah. Rather, it refers to the gatherings of knowledge and the sittings of knowledge where knowledge is learned. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, when he used to narrate this hadith, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِذَا مَرَرْتُمْ بِرِيَاضِ الْجَنَّةِ فَارْتَعُوا, if you pass by the garden of paradise, then go to it. And then he said, Majalis al-Dhikr, i.e. the gatherings of dhikr. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said, Ama inni la a'ni al-qassas. Alaykum as-salam. When I say Majalis al-Dhikr, the gatherings of dhikr, I'm not talking about the people who tell stories, walakin hilaq al-fiqh, rather the gatherings of al-fiqh, meaning of knowledge. And Ata, rahimullah, and Ata ibn Abi Rabah al-Khurasani, who's from the scholars of the Tabi'in, Imam Malik narrated a hadith from him. He said, majalisul dhikr, the gatherings of dhikr, a majalisul halali wal haram, are the gatherings of halal and haram, meaning where you learn halal and where you learn haram. And then he said, kayfa tashtari wa kayfa tubi' wa kayfa tusalli wa kayfa tasum, meaning how do you buy and how do you buy, how do you sell, how do you pray, how do you fast, how do you marry, i.e. rulings of fiqh, halal, haram and knowledge. And also Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, he narrates in his book Az-Zuhud from a scholar called Abu Sawar al-Adawi. He says, Kana Abu Sawar al-Adawi fi halqatin yatadhakaruna al-ilm, that this Imam, this scholar, he was in a gathering, يَتَذَاكَرُونَ الْعِلْمِ, and they were teaching and learning and revising knowledge. فَقَالَ شَابٌ مِّنْهُمْ, and then a young man amongst them, he said to them, سَبِّحُ اللَّهِ, make tasbih of Allah, meaning all of you say subhanallah. And he said, قُولُوا وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ, all of you say alhamdulillah. فَغَضِبَ أَبُو السَّوَّارَ الْعَدَوِي, so Abu Sawar, rahimullah, he became very angry. And then he said, Rayhaka, woe be to you. Fi ayyi shay'in kunna idha, that what were we doing if we were not making dhikr of Allah? Meaning, this knowledge which we are revising, this halal and haram and fiqh and aqid and tawheed and hadith which we are teaching, if this is not the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what is the dhikr of Allah? So this is a common misunderstanding that people have, and this is a doubt that people present. That when you say to them, don't make dhikr like the way you're doing in congregation, in masajid, in circles, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not used to do, they mention these narrations. Whenever a group of people, ijtama'u, they congregate upon the dhikr of Allah in the house of Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he described the garden of paradise as being a sitting of a dhikr. So the reply is that the meaning of dhikr here is knowledge, seeking and learning and teaching knowledge. And we find in the Quran and the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam many texts in which there is an encouragement to make a dhikr of Allah and to remember Allah jalla fil ula. And not only did Allah order us to make dhikr, but He ordered us to make dhikr a lot. Bukratan wa asila. In the morning and in the evening. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu dhkarullah dhikran kathira. O people of Iman, make dhikr of Allah dhikran kathira, meaning make a lot of dhikr of Allah jalla fil ula. And also they taught us the dua. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught us the dua. Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Oh Allah, help me in making your dhikr and showing shukr to you and worshipping you properly. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He praised the people of dhikr. He said, أَلَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهِ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. When He was speaking about the righteous people, He said, those people who make a dhikr of Allah, whether they are standing or sitting or whether they are lying down, meaning all the time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He loves a dhikr, He loves the people of dhikr, and He has prepared a magnificent reward for the people who make a dhikr. The men and the women. He specified men and then He also specified women. He said, وَالذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهِ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ. That the men who make dhikr of Allah a lot and also the women who make dhikr of Allah a lot, أَعَدَّ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةً وَأَجْرٌ عَظِيمًا. He has prepared for them, the men and the women, great forgiveness and a lot of reward. So why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala order us to make dhikr? And why does He love the people of dhikr? And why is the action of dhikr so beloved to Him? Because of the great reward. Because it is an act of worship beloved to Allah. Because it is a virtuous act of worship, better than many other acts of worship. And also due to the need of a human being towards making a dhikr. And the poverty that a person has in remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whenever a heart is empty or distant from Allah and from his remembrance, then this is a heart which is dead. And whenever there is a home which is empty from the dhikr of Allah, then this is a home which is dead. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مثل البيت الذي يذكر الله فيه والذي لا يذكر الله فيه. The example of a house in which the dhikr of Allah is made and a house in which there is no dhikr, there is no remembrance of Allah. مثل الحي والميت or مثل الحي والميت is like the difference between a living person and a dead person. And just like this is the heart. The heart which has within it the light of making dhikr is a heart which is living. And the heart which has been darkened due to a lack of the dhikr of Allah is a heart which is dead. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he informed us that on Yawm al-Qiyamah, people will regret and feel sorrow over the minutes and the hours in which they did not make a dhikr of Allah in this dunya. Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha, she narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, مَا مِن سَاعَةٍ تَمُرُّ بِابْنِ آدَمٍ. That there is no hour which passes by Ibn Adam, a human being, لا يذكر الله في, in which he does not make the dhikr of Allah, إِلَّا تُحَسِّرُ عَلَيْهَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Except that on the day of resurrection, a person will regret and feel sorrow and weep over these hours and these minutes in which the person did not make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates in a hadith in Sunan al-Tirmidhi that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَلَا إِنَّ الدُّنْيَا مَلْعُونَةٌ مَلْعُونٌ فِيهَا. Indeed, the dunya, the worldly life, it is cursed Mal'una la'an, it is cursed. And that which is in it is also cursed. Illa dhikrullah. Except the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa alimun wa muta'allimun. And accept a scholar who teaches and accept people who learn. The dunya is cursed and everything in the dunya is cursed except the dhikr of Allah and a scholar who teaches and people who are learning. And the meaning of the dunya being cursed and everything in the dunya being cursed except the dhikr and the alim and the muta'allim, Ibn Rajab, rahimullah, he explained it. He said, يَعْنِي أَنَّهَا مُبْعِدَةٌ عَنِ اللَّهِ, meaning that the dunya and everything which is in the dunya, it takes you away from Allah. وَالدَّارُ الْآخِرَةِ, and it distances you from the hereafter. تُشَغِّلُ عَنْهَا, and it occupies your mind away from Allah and the hereafter. Except these three things. The dhikr of Allah, and a scholar who teaches, and a student who learns. So, the virtues and the rewards of making dhikr of Allah are many. Firstly, it brings happiness to the heart. It brings comfort, ease to the mind, tranquility to the heart. And it removes a person's state of being depressed and sad and anxiety. Like the ayah which I mentioned, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُ الْقُلُوبِ. Indeed, with the dhikr of Allah, with the remembrance of Allah, do the hearts find content, tranquility and respite. Also, from the benefits or the virtues of making dhikr of Allah, is then He makes dhikr of you. He then remembers you. And what virtue is greater than the Lord of the heavens and the earth remembering you and mentioning you? Allah said, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. Remember me, make my mention, and I will make mention of you. And also in that hadith of Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه, مَجْتَمَعَ قَوْمٌ فِي بَيْتٍ مِّن بَيُوتِ اللَّهِ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهِ فِي. Whenever a group of people, they come together, they congregate in a house from amongst the houses of Allah, i.e. the masajid, يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهِ فِي, and they make a dhikr of Allah, they make remembrance and mention of Allah. And in a narration, يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ, they recite the book of Allah. وَيَتَدَارَسُونَهُ فِي مَا بَيْنَهُمْ, and they study or they revise it amongst each other. إِلَّا غَشِيَتْهُمُ الرَّحْمَةِ, except mercy, it covers them. وَنَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّكِينَةِ, and tranquility comes upon them. وَحَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ, and the angels cover them. وَذَكَرَهُمُ اللَّهِ فِي مَنْ عِنْدَهِ, and Allah makes they mention with those who are with Him, i.e. with the angels. And there is no greater virtue than for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make mention of Fulan ibn Fulan, who is in this masjid making his adhikr. And there are many hadith with this meaning. Also, from the great virtues and the rewards of making dhikr is that it saves a person from the punishment in the grave and in the fire. In fact, there is nothing which is better in saving a person from punishment than making dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu in Musnad al-Imam Ahmad, he said, مَا عَمِلَ آدَمِيٌّ عَمَلًا أَنْجَى لَهُ مِنْ عَذَابِ اللَّهِ, that there is no action which a person does which will save him more from the punishment of Allah مِنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, like the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, despite dhikr being so easy, doesn't take much effort, doesn't cost anything, yet some of the rewards which are mentioned are great and many. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever says La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la, he is alone and he has no partners, lahul mulku wa lahul hamd, for him is the kingdom and for him is all praise, وهو على كل شيء قدير, and he has complete ability over everything. 100 times in a day. So look, this sentence that I said, لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. A few seconds. And a person says it 100 times in the day. Meaning, even if he said it 10 times before each prayer and 10 times after each prayer, and that's 100 times in a day. And each one only takes a few seconds. Meaning 10 will only take a few minutes. Already we've said it 2 or 3 times already just now. The reward for this is كانت له عدل عشر رقبة. It is as if he has freed 100 slaves. وكتبت له 100 حسنة. And 100 good deeds have been written for him. ومحيت عنه 100 سيئة. And 100 bad deeds have been removed from him. وَكَانَتْ لَهُ حِرْزًا مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ فِي يَوْمِهِ حَتَّى يُمْسِي. And it is a protection for him from the shaitan up until the evening comes. So just these few seconds, these few words, لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك له الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. And it is as if you have freed 10 slaves and done 100 good deeds, and as if 100 sins are removed from you, and you are protected from shaitan in your day until the evening comes. And if you say it in the evening, then at night until morning comes. So look at this great reward, despite it doesn't cost anything, and there isn't any striving in it. And the benefits, rewards and virtues of making dhikr are so many. And it's not possible for us to mention them in a small gathering like this. And for this reason, our ulama, past and present, they authored great books when it came to a dhikr and the virtues of making a dhikr. And one of the best, most comprehensive books, which I took some of the notes of this lecture from, is this book, which was written by our Sheikh, Sheikh Abdul Razak ibn Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad. And it is called Fiqh Al-Ad'iyah Wal-Adhkar, the understanding of du'as and al-dhikr. And he mentions how you should make du'a, how you should make dhikr, and also benefits and meanings of the various adhkar that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught us. And it is in 2 volumes. And many other books which have been written. Also a very good book in English, most of you will have it, is Hisnul Muslim, The Fortress of the Muslim, in which various types of adhkar and supplications are mentioned in Urdu, English and many other languages. It is available. That should be said throughout the various times of the day and night. If we know now the great virtue of making dhikr of Allah, and that He has ordered us to make a lot of dhikr of Allah, then how should a person make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or what are the manners and the etiquettes in which a person should make the dhikr of Allah and remember Allah Jalla fil Ula? Firstly, that when a person makes the dhikr, he says it privately, meaning quietly unto himself. Except in those situations in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say it out aloud. So for example, after the prayer, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to turn to the congregation behind him and he used to teach them some of the adhkar. And therefore, now it is better for a person to turn to his congregation and teach them the adhkar and say it out aloud. But apart from these instances, then the first adab, the first way or manner or etiquette is to say it quietly and to a person's self. Why? Because it is closer to ikhlas, sincerity, and it saves a person from riya, from showing off, and it is more worthy of being accepted with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, in those situations in which a person should say it out loud or do certain actions like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to do, for example, a person using his fingers, like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he used to say subhanallah 33 times, he He used to count it on his fingers like this. Subhanallah, 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 like this. In these instances, a person, he does the actions, or if need be, he says it out aloud, if the sunnah is to say it out aloud. Like some of the companions mentioned, that we used to know the prayer has finished, because we used to hear the takbir and the dhikr of the people. And that's where you find in many of our masajid, that after the prayer, when it finishes immediately, people, they say out loud to a certain degree, Astaghfirullah, 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 Allahu Akbar, and then some of their dhikr, and then they go quiet in the rest of the adhkar. And a person shouldn't think that I'm not going to say it out loud, I'm not going to use my fingers, because this will now be showing off, and I don't want to show the people that I'm making dhikr. This is incorrect. And Al-Fudayl ibn al-Iyad, rahimullah, and he was from the Imams of the Tabi'een, he said, تَرْكُ الْعَمَلِ لِأَجْلِ النَّاسِ رِيَاء, that leaving an action because of the people, this is riya. وَالْعَمَلُ لِأَجْلِ النَّاسِ shirk, and to do an action for the sake of the people, this is a shirk. وَالْإِخْلَاص, and sincerity, أَنْ يُعَافِيكَ اللَّهُ مِنْهُمَا, is that Allah saves you from both of these things, from riya and from a shirk. To give you an example, we know the great virtue of saying the adhan. We know the virtue of reciting the Quran in a beautiful, melodious voice. We know the virtue of praying the prayer in the first row. So a person who comes to the masjid and he's reciting the Quran in a melodious way, and then he sees somebody coming in and he stops reciting the Quran. Or he starts reciting the Quran in a way which is not melodious. This is now a riya. And this is now leaving the worship of Allah for the sake of the people. Or a person says, I'm not going to pray in the front row because I don't want to show off. Rather, I pray in the second or third row so I stay away from a riya. Fudayl ibn Iyad said, this is a riya. Because you are leaving the worship of Allah because of your fear of the people. And doing an action for the sake of people, this is a shirk. And ikhlas is that Allah saves you from both of these things. So a person carries on reciting the Quran in a melodious way, or he gets up and he says the adhan, or he comes first to the first row of the prayer, and then he fights shaitan, and he strives his soul against ar-riya and against showing off. So this is the first etiquette of making a dhikr, that you say it quietly within yourself. Secondly, when you make dhikr, then you make it with your heart focusing, and you show your poverty, humility and need in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you say it, and you have khawf, fear of Allah in your heart. And Allah said in the Quran, وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ فِي نَفْسِكَ تَذَرُّعًا وَخِيفًا, in Surah Al-A'raf. Make mention, make dhikr of your Lord, fi nafsika, in yourself. And here it doesn't mean in your heart, rather it means quietly to yourself. Tadarru'an wa khifa, and say it in humility and out of khawf, either you're fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not that you're making dhikr and at the same time you're talking to somebody, or you're on your phone checking your messages and your mind is occupied. Also, from the etiquette of making dhikr is that you don't say it out aloud. And this is an answer to those people who shout out their dhikr. And they say dhikr in congregation, and all of them are shouting the names of Allah, saying it in a loud voice. Rather, Allah says in the same ayah, وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ فِي نَفْسِكَ, make dhikr of your Lord quietly to yourself, تَذَرُّعًا وَخِيفًا, in humility and fear, وَدُونَ الْجَهْرِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ, and don't say it in jahr. And you know the meaning of jahr, opposite of asir. Asir is secretly or quietly, a jahr is out aloud. Like we have as-salat al-jahriyah and as-salat al-sirriyah, the prayers which are out aloud, fajr, maghrib and isha, and the prayers which are quiet, like dhuhr and asr. He said, دون الجهر من القول, that don't say it out aloud, that you're saying it to the people, shouting out to the people. And Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, he narrates a hadith in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, in which the companions, they were with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they were riding on a journey. And they were saying their adhkar and their supplications out loud. They were saying them very loudly. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Ya ayyuhal nas, O people, arba'u ala anfusikum. That, be calm with yourselves. Meaning this dhikr and these du'as that you're making, say them calmly and quietly. And don't shout them out, don't say them out loudly. And then he said, فَإِنَّكُمْ لَا تَدْعُونَ أَصَمْ وَلَا غَائِبًا. Because you're not calling out to somebody who cannot hear, neither are you calling out to somebody who is not present, i.e. somebody who is absent. إِنَّمَا تَدْعُونَ أَصَّمِيعَ الْقَرِيبِ. Rather, you are supplicating and calling out to the one who is as-sami', he hears everything, al-qarib, and he's close to everything. Wa huwa aqrabu ila ahadikum min rahilatihi. And he's closer to each one of you than his riding camel or his riding animal. So from this hadith in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, we take the etiquette that we don't say it out aloud, rather we say it quietly. And also, from the manners and the etiquettes of making dhikr, is that it is recommended to say it in the best possible manner and in the best possible sitting or posture. So if you're sitting, face the qibla. And this isn't an obligation, rather something which is more perfect. And when you make dhikr, you make dhikr according to the adhkar of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and that which is in the Qur'an. As for if every now and again somebody made dhikr with something which is not in the Quran and the Sunnah, then there's no problem in this. And of course, that there are no shirkiyat, acts of shirk, and also actions which are haram, like we find today, dancing and music and things like this, and clapping, when it comes to making a dhikr. And this brings us on to the final subtopic of the lecture, which is the innovations, the many strange innovations which are occurring when people are making a dhikr. And I mentioned that a dhikr, the remembrance of Allah, it is an act of worship, it is ibadah, rather it is one of the greatest forms of worship. And if it is ibadah, then it has a sunnah. It has a way which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did it in. So just like the prayer, as-salah has a sunnah, and al-wudu has a sunnah, and hajj has a sunnah, and you have to do it according to that way, because they are acts of worship, then dhikr is also an act of worship, and it has a sunnah that you do it in. And these are the etiquettes which I've just mentioned. And it also has innovations that people have innovated regarding it, like they have innovated in the prayer, and in wudu, and the other acts of worship. And these innovations that people do, or these mistakes that people are committing when it comes to dhikr, sometimes it is in the way they are making dhikr, sometimes it is in the times they are making dhikr, sometimes it is the words that they are using to make dhikr, and sometimes it is the number of adhkar that they are making. These four things, people are committing innovations or making mistakes in them. Either how they do it, or the form that they do it in, or the certain times they do it in, or certain words they use, or the number of times that they do it. So, for example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we don't know of evidences that he used to make dhikr jama'i, in congregation. Neither did he encourage the people upon it, and neither has it been narrated that he ordered with it, or neither the companions, Ridwanullahi alayhim. Neither dhikr nor ad-du'a. Even ad-du'a after the prayer, or a dhikr after the prayer, like people say La ilaha illallah 7 times after the prayer, or they make du'a in congregation, meaning the imam raises his hands and he makes du'a and the people say Ameen. We don't know of a single instance from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companions where they used to do this like this. Rather, I mentioned the hadith of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, when the people, they were saying the dhikr out loud. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, arba'u ala anfusikum. That be calm and say your dhikr quietly. Also the famous narration of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, and we've mentioned this narration before when he was in Kufa. And the narration is in Ad-Darimi. That he saw people and they were sitting together in a circle, and one man, he would say to them, Subbihullah, say Subhanallah. And then all of them would say Subhanallah. And then they would take a stone and they would throw it into a bucket. And this represents one tasbih that they have made. And then this man would say, Qulu Alhamdulillah, say Alhamdulillah. And then all of them together in congregation, they, in one voice, they would say Alhamdulillah. And then they would throw another stone into this plate or bucket. When Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, when he saw them, he said, Ma hadha, what is this? What are you doing? Because he had not seen the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companions making dhikr in this manner in congregation. They said, Ya Aba Abdurrahman, O Abu Abdurrahman, Husa nu'addu bihi at-tasbih wa-tahmid wa-tahleel, stones by which we count our tasbih and our tahmid and our la ilaha illallah. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he replied to them, he said, Wayhakum. He said, woe be to you, woe be upon you. هذه أصحاب نبيكم متوافرون. These are the companions of your messenger and they are still amongst you. وهذه ثيابه لم تبلى. And these are the clothes of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and yet they are still fresh. وهذه آنيته لم تكسر. And these are the utensils of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they still haven't been broken. Meaning only now has the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. His clothes are still wet, his utensils are still there, his family and his companions are still amongst you. And yet you are doing something which they did not used to do. And he said, Imma annakum ala millatin ahda min Rasulillah. Either you are upon a way which is more guided than the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because you're doing an action which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't used to do. You're making dhikr of Allah in a way which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not used to make a dhikr. So either you know something better than the Prophet and you are more guided than the Prophet, or innakum muftatihu abwab ad-dalalah, or you are opening a door of misguidance. You are opening doors of misguidance and doors of fitna. And no doubt those people, they were opening doors of misguidance, deviation and fitna. And then the people, they said to him, Ya Aba Abdurrahman, O Abu Abdurrahman, O Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, إِنَّمَا أَرَدْنَا خَيْرًا. We only want goodness. And this is a principle we take from this narration when it comes to sunnah and when it comes to bid'ah. That many people, they say, as long as your bid'ah is hasana, as long as your bid'ah is a good bid'ah, then it is okay. So they said to him, إِنَّمَا أَرَدْنَا خَيْرًا. We only wanted goodness. We only intended goodness. He said, وَكَمْ مِنْ مُرِيدِي الْخَيْرِ لَنْ يُصِيبَهُ. And how many people want goodness, but they will never achieve it. Because this goodness is in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and not in innovations. And then some of the narrators of that narration, they mention that one of them, he says, that the majority of those people who were there, I saw them on the day of Nahrawan when the Khawarij, they fought their companions. That these people then were amongst the Khawarij. Because we always say, bid'atun tuwallidu bid'atan. One innovation gives birth to another innovation. Just like a sin gives birth to another sin. And this is the way of the people of innovation. They will start with something which is small and simple, and slowly, 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 they come to the major acts of innovation and they come to ashirkiyat. And in one of the narrations of this narration of Ibn Mas'ud, it says, وَكَانَ الرَّجُلْ يَجْمَعُ النَّاسِ, that a man used to congregate the people. And then they used to make this dhikr in congregation and the rest of the narration. الشاطبي, Imam al-Shatabi, rahimullah, in his book Al-Muwafaqat, he said, الدُّعَاءُ بِهَيْئَةِ الْإِجْتِمَاءِ, that supplicating in the form of congregation, da'iman, all the time, لم يكن من فعل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Was never the action of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. So this is the first form of innovation that occurs. People saying it in congregation. And people saying dua after the prayer in congregation, like you've seen and like you have heard. Also, in wording. People, they make dhikr by just saying the name of Allah. Allah, Allah, Allah. And some of them, by just saying la ilaha, la ilaha, la ilaha. And then some of them, by just saying ha, ha, ha. And then make dhikr like this. And we don't find the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which him and the companions used to make dhikr with the word Allah, 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 or la ilaha, la ilaha, or just the word ha, ha, ha. Rather, the meaning of la ilaha is there is no God, there is no God. So they're not making dhikr of Allah, they're making kufr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what if one of them was to die while saying la ilaha, la ilaha, la ilaha. There is no God, there is no God, there is no God. In fact, some of them, they said that dhikr of la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, hadha dhikrul awam. This is the dhikr of the common Muslims, the common people. And as for making dhikr with Allah, 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 and ha, 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 hadha dhikrul khawas. Then this is the dhikr of the special people. This is the dhikr of the awliya of Allah. And which awliya of Allah are they referring to? Who is more special and who is greater of a wali than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he teach us? من قال لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. And they saying that this لا إله إلا الله ذكر العوام. This is the ذكر of the normal common Muslims. And as our ذكر Allah, Allah, ha, ha, this is the ذكر of the greatest awliya. And Ibn Taymiyyah rahimullah also, in terms of words, is the ذكر that people write themselves. We find books now, they say, various different types of durood. Like the book Dala'il al-Khayrat mentions different types of durood and different types of adhkar. The dhikr that we should be making and the as-salatu wasalam which we should be saying is the ones that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught us. Now, if every now and again you mention a remembrance of Allah which you didn't find in the Quran and Sunnah and it doesn't contain shirk or bid'ah, there's no problem in this. But to make it a routine or regular occurrence, or to teach it to the other people, this now becomes an innovation. And Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimullah, he said, لَيْسَ لِأَحَدٍ أَنْ يَسُنَّ لِلنَّاسِ نَوْعًا مِنَ الْأَذْكَارِ وَالْأَدْعِيَةِ غَيْرِ الْمَسْلِمِ. That it is not permitted for anybody to bring about for the people a particular type of dhikr or a particular type of dua which is not masnoon, i.e. which is not from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَيَجْعَلُهَا عِبَادَةً رَاتِبَةً يُوَاضِبُ عَلَيْهِ النَّاسِ. And he makes it like a routine for the people that they should say it all the time. بَلْ هَذَا إِبْتِدَاعٌ فِي الدِّينِ. Rather, this is an innovation in the religion. لَمْ يَأْذَنَ اللَّهِ بِهِ. That Allah did not give permission for. Also, innovations in dhikr is when people give it a particular number or a particular day. Whoever says this durood 100 times on the day of Jum'ah, whoever says this dhikr 200 times on this day, then he will have so much amount of reward. Unless we find an authentic hadith. We know Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, Allahu Akbar 34 times. We know La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la 100 times. But anything which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not restrict to a number, and then people restrict it, this now becomes an innovation. And people mention a narration, they claim this is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man salla alayya fil yawmi wal laylati mi'ata marra, whoever sends as-salatu wa salam, I durood upon me in a day, and some of them say on Friday, 100 times, sallallahu alayhi alfay as-salah. Then Allah sends as-salatu wa salam upon that person 2,000 times. Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi rahimullah, he said, wa hadha al-hadithu batilun. This hadith, it is falsehood. So for anybody to restrict the dhikr to a particular number, 70 or 100, 150, 200, and we don't find it in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this is also an act of innovation. Also, if you do a particular dhikr in a particular time which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not specify. So for example, and we finish with this, saying La ilaha illallah, it is a virtuous statement in any time, and you say it as much as you can. As soon as you say, okay, we're going to say it 7 times after the prayer, or we're going to say it when we're walking around the body in the janazah, or we're going to make dua in congregation after the prayer, now you have given it a time or a place which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not give. And I mentioned to you what Ash-Shatibi said, الدعاء بهيئة الاجتماع دائما لم يكن من فعل الرسول. That making dua in congregation all the time was not from the way of the Prophet. And Ibn Taymiyyah rahimullah, he said, لم ينقل أحد أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, that nobody has ever narrated that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم كان إذا صلى بالناس, after he had prayed with the people, يدعو بعد الخروج من الصلاة والمأمون جميعا, that he then supplicates to Allah along with the rest of the congregation together in unison. This was never narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and from the companions. بل قد ثبت عنه أنه كان يستقبل أصحابه. Rather, that which has been established is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, after the prayers, he should turn to his companions. ويذكر الله, and then he used to make the dhikr of Allah. ويعلمهم ذكر الله, and he used to teach them the various words of al-dhikr. So this is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So, these few words, brothers and sisters, contain the importance of making dhikr, the great reward, virtue and benefit of making dhikr, and the fact that we are in need of making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want your heart to be living, and you want to find tranquility in your heart, and you're finding distress and anxieties, subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. Or you make Alhamdulillah, or you make tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we do it according to the etiquette and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we avoid these innovations. And Allah knows best. Sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.
What's the best way to concentrate in prayer?
The brother asks, what is the best way for a person to concentrate in dhikr or in the prayer? With a number of matters. Number one, that when you're making the dhikr, not only are you making upon your tongue, but also with your heart. So a person has to spiritually or in his heart also be with his dhikr. And that's why Allah said, وَلَا تَكُن مِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. Don't be from those people who are negligent. And also from the greatest ways which helps a person is understanding. A person understands what he is saying and why is he saying it. For example, when a person leaves the masjid, you say, Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadlika. O Allah, I ask you from your fadl, from your virtue and your kindness. And when you're entering into the masjid, what do you say? Allahumma aftah li abwaba rahmatik. O Allah, open for me the doors of your mercy. So a person, and these things are mentioned in books like this, Fiqhul Dua wa Dhikr. A person should think and contemplate, the building is one, it's the masjid. Why is it when I enter the masjid, the Prophet told me to say something else, and when I leave the masjid, the Prophet told me to say something separately? Why am I asking Allah for mercy when I enter into the masjid? And why am I asking Allah for kindness and virtue when I leave the masjid? And it's the same building. Aren't you always in need of the mercy of Allah, whether you're inside the masjid or outside of the masjid? And aren't you always in need of the kindness and the virtue of Allah when you are coming into the masjid and leaving into the masjid? So a person should know the meaning, why did Allah and why did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam legislate these two different types of dhikr? Some of the ulama, they have mentioned, when you are entering into the masjid, The reason why you are entering is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the reason why you're worshipping Allah is for Allah to forgive your sins. So when you want your sins to be forgiven, and you want your actions to be accepted, then the greatest thing you are in need of is the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mercy of Allah. And for this reason, when you enter into the masjid, you say, Allahumma inni Allahumma aftah li abwaba rahmatik. O Allah, I'm now going to seek your forgiveness. I want my evil deeds to be forgiven. So open the doors of mercy. And the ulama mentioned that when a person is now leaving the masjid, where is he going? He's going back towards his family, towards his work, towards his marketplace to make his money. So when you're making money, when you're going back to your workplace, what you need of? The kindness and the virtue of Allah. That gives you more in your wealth. And for this reason, when you leave the masjid and you're going back towards your houses and your family and your work and your money, you say, Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadlik. Allah, I ask you from your virtue and your kindness, give me more from halal in this dunya. So matters like this, and understanding and knowing why you are making dhikr and contemplating the different types of dhikr, this also aids a person in concentration. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy for us, perhaps we'll do a series of lessons on fiqh al-dhikri wal-du'a. The brother asks that when a person is in a state of janaba, major impurity, can a person make dhikr? A person, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kana yadhkur Allah fi kulli heen. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Ummul Mu'minin Aisha radiallahu anha, she narrates, he used to make the dhikr of Allah in all situations. Except if he was in a place in which the dhikr of Allah should not be made, like, for example, the bathrooms and the toilets, akramakumullah. So even if a person is in janaba, then a person can still make the dhikr of Allah. The only difference is when that dhikr of Allah or that dua is also mentioned in the Quran. For example, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasna is in the Quran. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahma innaka antal wahhab is also mentioned in the Quran. Is it permitted for a person to now make this dua or this dhikr whilst he's in the state of janaba? And we know that you can't recite the Quran in a state of janaba. The ulama, they have said that if you are making this dua or this dhikr with the intention of reciting the Quran, then it is not allowed. And if you are saying these words with the intention that it's only dhikr or it's only a dua and not that it's the Quran, it's not recitation of the Quran, then it is permitted. So in all accounts, making dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is permitted even in the state of janaba, and Allah knows best.